The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Besides my voice, it's thrilling, thriving, transformational, and timely Tuesday as we say that the promises in Jesus Christ are yes, 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 and amen. The promises of God are part of the foundations of our hope. So yes and amen. And go God. First up, why does Jesus need to say, do you want to get well, to the people who are sick? Isn't the answer obvious that they would want to be well? No, it is not obvious. And next, we turn to our friend, Pastor Ray Bentley, and his devotional book This Day as we get the Spoonanity take on life. And finally, we've all seen the disaster movies that were the rage in Hollywood, but sometimes the perception of what a disaster is nothing more than reading the wrong script. We'll look at the revised version.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can text in to 214-210-8483. Or you can call in to 972-445-0770. Or you can write a letter to whatever these things are going to be and send it to the station, and it will probably get here between now and, I guess, December, if you want to give that a shot. That's okay, too. Don't you like the way I started the show?
I was here for it.
There's nothing like that first word coming off out of a broadcast where you haven't been here for an extra day. It's just like that first word, that first sentence is like the hardest thing. I should start humming my way in. I think that's probably a good idea.
Right, just go with it. Just
There we go. Okay, let's get to the first trivia question. But before we do, I do want to remind you, it can be praise reports that you call in with. It can be prayer requests. It can be pop questions. It can be whatever. We just want to do the best we can. The whole point of the entire hour, just so you can know, is to encourage and educate. And entertain, and you kind of throw those three E's together, and we try to do it that way. Our goal is not to set the world ablaze. Our goal is to strengthen one another as we see the day getting closer and closer, and we can see the day getting closer and closer. I'm pretty sure that's not too tough for people to figure out. All right, let's start off with the first trivia question. You can call in and or you can text in. Either way, we are live, just to let people know. So yesterday we were not. I had to take the day extra day off because the station people needed a break because I drive everybody crazy. Well, for some people, it's a short putt, but I drive most people crazy. Here is the first question of the day. How many days after Jesus' resurrection did he ascend to heaven? How many days was it between his resurrection and his ascension? Now, we've talked about this before. This is not a new question, but I'm trying to get people's brains back into it after taking a little bit of time off yesterday. Let's get back into it and go ahead and answer. Keep in mind, any topic here is open for conversation because it's not professional radio. It's just radio, which makes it easier. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. Let's start off with our revised version of our DNA. So DNA, if you went to school or if you've watched movies or if you've listened to things on television or read the internet or read books or whatever, that's what we're made of. That's our code. That's our genetic code. And in the Christian's life, DNA stands for, here we go, draw closer to the Lord. Do you
remember? Daily.
Perfect. Like, keep in mind, T's voice is a little soft, so we're not going to make her talk too much. Number two is never be ashamed. We're just going to leave that there. Never be ashamed. What? Never be ashamed. Not of Jesus or his words. And then always be ready to
serve.
There you go. All right. So there, we're already on the board. We're already rock and rolling. Good job, by the way. So I'm not, like I said, I'm not going to make T talk a lot because she had family gathering and, you know, you tend to, you know.
You know, the struggle.
Yeah. It's, you know what it is? In our, see, this is the thing that people don't understand, and I say this in the most loving fashion, but in a Jewish household, our dinners were all Thanksgiving dinners. I just think it's so funny. People are like, we had Thanksgiving dinner, and people were arguing. In our dinners, dinner rolls went flying. It was never any different. It was always the same, which is kind of why in the house that my dad built, the kitchen was off away from the where you would cook. The table area was off about an extra 4 or 5 feet more than normal.
Because it probably would have been chaotic.
Yeah. And they'd have to clean up. And it's like, no, that's not going to work. All right. All right, let's get into it. So the first question that's up for people to respond to, how many days after Jesus' resurrection did he ascend to heaven? How many days was it? What's amazing about the number, and thank you for those that are sending the answers in, what's amazing about the number is how many different things in the Bible pertain to that number. It is amazing. You have to, it's like, wow, that's pretty impressive. All right, I'm going to ask you a question that probably doesn't get talked a lot about, and being a Baptist, which means that I am the best that I can do it, I try to be spirit-led but Bible-grounded. I'm not one of those people that thinks you get to rewrite scripture. That I just think is people lost their minds. I'm also not one of those people that think that God went to Pluto and he's hanging out there and getting a suntan. So I just think that whole thing, or I guess that'd be Mars because that would be kind of closer. But I think the whole process there is just wrong. Okay, that's not how it is. But in relationship to praying for people getting out of their situations, specifically physically and otherwise, I want to go to John 5:5-6. It says this, one man was there who had been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew he had already been there a long time, he said to him, do you want to get well? Now, if you're just going to be honest, and what I encourage people to do is I encourage you to read scripture no matter what. I would prefer people, you know, just as a brother to brother, brother to sister thing, I prefer you'd read to hear what God has to say. After all, it is the word of God. And when you read to hear, you slow it down. You don't speed read. You know, it's not the Evelyn Wood speed reading course. She goes, that reminds me a lot of Saturday Night Live skits. I'm just going to skip by those. But the idea is it's not just I'm just going to read as fast as I can, as much as I can, blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay, if you're going to read, read great, but try to read to listen. Try to read to hear, and that means you got to slow down and make sense of what's processing through your mind. In this case, this guy has been sick for 38 years. For some of you out there that are in your 70s, like mid-70s to late 70s, that's half a lifetime. It's a long time, right? That's not short. I mean, I've been a Christian. It's almost 43 years. That's most of it. Wow, that's just be amazing. So Jesus sees him. He's laying there. He saw him lying there. He knew he'd been there a long time. And I think it's important that the scripture takes the time to note that he had been there a long time. And then he said to him, do you want to get well? Here's why that's important. Because some people have been in their sickness so long, they don't want to get well. They are so accustomed. They are so comfortable in their plight and in their problem. And you think, oh, no, that's not true. Oh, no, yes, it is actually true. Some people, when offered help to get well, are like, well, I can't do that. I can't. And then there's all these excuses of why they can't try, do, or whatever. Not, and I'm not blaming the people for getting in that place over a long period of time, but I'm challenging people to be honest about it. Don't you know, if you're overly comfortable in a bad scenario, you need to say, yeah, I'm way too passive or way too comfortable in this, and I need to be a little bit more bold or a little more faith-oriented. See, some people are comfortable where they're at, and they don't want to change it. And because change, that's hard. I know, but you're miserable for 38 years. Well, okay. And so Jesus, in the wisdom and led by the Holy Spirit, of course, in putting down a holy writ for us, I mean, there's a reason it's in your Bible. It's like, do you want to get well? And here's the other part about this. Some people, and just don't get mad about it, just listen. Some people, they like the attention. And you know people like this. Those are the people that say, I went to the hospital and it was like this and it was like this. And then I came home and you're like, oh, wow, that's really a bummer. That's wreck. Oh, that's nothing. And then I went here and I went to the lollipop land and they didn't treat me good. And they were throwing lollipops at my forehead. Oh, that's just awful. And then it's just like, it just keeps going and going and going. It's like, yeah, hold on here. There's kind of a pattern that's breaking down, and that's a problem. And people need to be honest about it. If you're a person that, you know, you do like the attention, you got to say that. Yeah, I like that. I like people know. I mean, that just, you know. Look, there's nothing wrong with people caring about you, and there's nothing wrong with people acknowledging you. But if you get so stuck in it that that becomes more important than the healing or getting better. And then here's the third part about it, and I want to just say this real quickly. Some people believe they deserve what they're going through. And those are the people that don't understand grace. Because deserve it wise, we all deserve to be wiped off the planet. But grace allows us to extend. And that's what people are missing. Reality wise is God doesn't have to let rain ever come. It's not his requirement. He's not like, well, I have to do the rain today. It's not how it goes. But he gives it. So you don't want to be a person that's so comfortable you can't move out of what you're in. You don't want to be a person that just does it for the attention's sake. And you don't want to be a person that thinks you just deserve it, so you have to stay in it. You want to be a person that wants to get better. And the Lord will ask you that or challenge you in that before you do get better. You want to get better? You want to get well? And the answer needs to be, yes, I want to do better. I want to be better. I want to get well. That's the healthy answer. Okay? That's the healthy answer. All right. How many days after Jesus' resurrection, how many days was it before he ascended? The answer is 40. 40 days. Remember the floods? 40 days, 40 nights. Children of Israel, desert, 40 days. Jesus was out in temptation, 40 days. A lot of 40s, right? Okay. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven, and that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing, except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't forget, livinginhisgrip.com is a place you can get the music for free from the show, most of the ins and outs, the stuff that's on there. You are welcome to do so. I do want to say something about that last little commercial that we did play. So we are at the 8th. And I know that was a holiday, so that's kind of it. But I will tell you now as we compare the numbers. So we need a little bit of movement because it's a little bit low. I'm just telling you all so you know what's going on. In lieu of that, let's start off with our next trivia, and then we'll do our website. Here's our next trivia. It is a one- or two-parter. Okay, it is a one- or two-parter. The first part I know you guys will get right away, but the second part is the other part that's important as well. You can do either or. Okay, I'm there for either or. Okay, who was called a friend of God, or who was called God's friend, and in the New Testament, where is it referenced? What book? Ooh, Dave. Ooh, that's a toughie. Ooh, you can do this. 214-210-8483. Who was called a friend of God? And where is it referenced in the New Testament? Don't forget, by the way, our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, and don't forget, on He Must Increase Ministry, there is a couple of new, I put something up there that's new. In fact, I might talk about this on Friday, might cause a little bit of friction, not too much. Dr. Tony Evans, I don't know if you're familiar with Dr. Tony Evans or not, great guy. I had a chance to give him an award 4 years ago. Hall of Fame of Faith Award for San Diego. Anyway, he wrote an article, and he has a different phrasing that I use. As you notice, I'm one of those guys that say, don't be left, don't be right, but be top center. He calls it kingdom voting. So he has a different phrase. So I've reached out to him, and he might be coming on the show. So we'll just call him. He'll call in. We'll put him on, give him a chance to talk and share with us. Just letting you know what's going on there. Always fun to be aware of that. And as you also know, I have a couple of good friends in ministry all over the place. I did tell T, by the way, I've been doing really good in most of my classes. I took a translation and it's kind of a technical breakdown of Hebrew structure exam, and I did pretty well, I thought. And even the professor was pretty encouraging about it, but I completely missed the very last section. So, see, even when you want to be prideful, there's just this, you know, I'm really good at this. I do this really good. This, when you get it just a little bit too much, that's when God, the Lord God goes, would you like to sound like a cow?
Moo.
And that's exactly what happened to me. So I just want to thank the Lord for his great lesson. And forward I go, and the professor is very encouraging, but it was a complete space. You know, that's the only thing that bothers me about getting a little bit older is sometimes I don't see it all. And that's kind of a bummer. So.
See, yeah, you're getting forgetful.
I know. Age. You know, and the biggest problem is what's going to happen when I'm in traffic. Anyway, like, uh-oh. All right, I'm going to do a thing off of Ray's This Day's book. I want to thank everybody who did get the book. No, I don't get any money, any kickbacks or anything. In fact, I haven't even talked to Ray since we've been promoting the book. I think we'll end up talking this week. But he's a good friend. He's a great guy, great in the Lord. And if you read the book, you kind of get the depth or the spirit from which he talks about. And he had one called To Life. And I know some of you have heard it or read it, but I want to give you kind of my take on it along with that. So if you have any interest in getting Ray's book, $16.99, and then I think he charges $2 or $3 on the delivery. It's a $20 book. It's a daily devotional for you know, living daily in the presence and the love of God. And I think most people who've gotten it have liked it. Now, not every day is perfect. You know, it's not going to be, oh, this is the greatest thing I've ever read in my entire. No, but there's just times where sometimes you read it in a devotional, and it's just the thing you need to hear that day. And it's like, if that happens once, that's a miracle. If it happens more than once, that's a bargain. That's kind of how I would call that. All right, this one is called To Life. And for those that know it, just bear with us. Again, the trivia question, who was a friend of God and where in the New Testament is that referenced? Here we go. To Life. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Who are your enemies? Well, you might say, I don't have too many. I mean, I get along in life okay. In other words, I don't have that many people that are against me. You know, I'm not a kind of a jerky person. I'm not, you know, I don't throw things at people at restaurants per se. I don't drive and cut over 9 lanes in one signal turn. It's like, you know, I'm okay. But we do have unseen enemies, and they are often called, now look at what Ray does. He labels who the unseen enemies are. They're demonic often, but he labels them as worry, fear, and anxiety, often generated by the concerns over health, finances, and relationship. Now you see that? That's a very good catch. Worry, fear, and anxiety generated by concerns for health, finances, and relationships. Those can be enemies. The fear that's attached to it, the anxiety that's attached to it, the worry that's attached to it can create problems in our lives. Now, worry and fear are crippling, and they cripple your day-to-day operations. Anxiety is health-robbing. In other words, it takes away from your very health. When you and I are anxious and operating in anxiety, and I'm not talking about that split-second moment that you go, oh, okay, and then you kind of regroup and get yourself together. I'm talking about walking in it for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. You're taking time off of your life. That's what you're doing. And so worry and fear are crippling, but anxiety is health robbing. And our enemy's goal, which is Satan, is to steal, kill, and destroy from John 10:10. I came to give life and life more abundantly. But the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And the idea is to rob us of joy and rob us of peace. You see, here's the really weird thing about that. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And when Satan tries to, what he tries to do is rob you of that peace, rob you of that connection. Because if you're hanging out with the Prince of Peace, okay, I'm going to say this in the most bizarre way in the world, but if you're hanging out with the Prince of Peace, some of the end result is going to be some peace dropping on you, okay? So if you're hanging out with the Prince of Chocolate, some of the results of this, you're going to get a piece of chocolate. Just saying. So if you're going to get peace, if you're hanging out with the Prince of Hamburgers, you're probably going to get a hamburger. If you're hanging out with the Prince of Peace, you're going to get peace. But the enemy tries to rob us of that. And like I said in John 10:10, Jesus declares, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So look what Jesus does for us against the enemy stealing. He sets a table for us, and the table is filled with the elements of abundant life, gifts from our good shepherd. And to navigate that life, God doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. It's not God that's making you afraid, unless that fear of God has to do with you being in awe, respect, and honor unto the Lord. I'm talking about fear that's crippling and that sucks the life out of you and that makes you so timid you can't do anything. That's what I'm talking about. The table set before us is filled with God's blessings. Friends, family, Christian fellowship, love, always love. Sometimes the abundant life includes hard things like lessons learned, sorrow and pain, but it always ends up with this promise of joy. I was like, that's so cool. Whatever blessing we receive and is set before us right in front of those enemies, it's insidious for those enemies, and it's kind of a testimony against them and for God because God does it right in front of them. God, it's kind of a defiant element. No matter what you do in life, you're going to find out that the enemies are never welcome at your celebration of victory. And it's like that there, ha. He sets a table before me in the presence of my enemies, like going, ha ha, I win, ha ha. That one little character on Simpsons, ha ha, whatever that guy's name is. Okay, so the Jewish people have a tradition. And this is something I know about raising their glasses. Usually it's a glass of wine, but you're raising their glasses with toast, and they say L'chaim. L'chaim. So you roll that. L'chaim. It means to life. And so you raise your glasses to life because God's gift to us is life, and it's life abundantly. And surely goodness and mercy will follow me, the psalmist continued, all the days of my life. With Jesus as our shepherd to life. And so there's an old the song from those that know, to life, l'chaim, 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 to life. And if our good fortune never comes, here's to whatever comes, drink l'chaim to life. And the idea is to enjoy life. God's given it to you. It's a great gift. It's wonderful. And you don't have to let the enemy rob you through some of those fears and those worries and anxieties. And you can't always determine what your health's going to be, what your finances going to be, how the relationships are going to bear out. But you can entrust yourself to him who knows and keeps you in the palm of his hand. And that's the comfort. That's the grace. That's the abundance of life. And then one time somebody said to me, you know, abundant life, that means everything good. I'm like, no, it doesn't. Just, I'm sorry. I understand that you want it to be that. That's not what it says. It says abundant life. You won't be dulled out. You won't have the lack of experiences. You will experience life and all of it. And sometimes some of the sweetest joys are the joys that come on the other side of the hardest times. When you overcome, or where you come over on the situation. That's some of the best stuff that exists. So to life, l'chaim, from God, who is the creator of life, and created it as a gift and a benefit and a blessing for you and for me. Very cool. Okay, who was called a friend of God? That would be Abraham. Abe and God were friends. Very cool. And the reference point would be James chapter 2, verse 23. There's a few people that got that right, spot on. Good job, people. Very, very cool. All right, we can take a short break and come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Hey, jingity-jing, it's Dominic the Donkey, jingity-jing, the Italian Christmas Donkey, la, 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 la.
Oh, that is...
La, yeah. La, 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 la.
You asked for zany, my friend.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. So we, being not completely unlike, you know, Christmas Vacation in Chevy Chase and so on and so forth, we got a really big tree, slapped it up on the car. Of course, it scratched the car to no end. Remember, I'm Jewish, and I'm trying to follow the Christmas holiday. It's got nothing to do with my Christianity. I like Christmas. I like the season and so on and so forth. I have no problem celebrating any specific time, picking a time, and we're as close as we can be celebrating the birth of Christ. It's awesome. It's a great time of year. But you're talking about me fighting a tree. And I'm fighting the tree, and I'm fighting the tree, and I hack off a few branches. And unfortunately, what I hacked off with the axe wasn't enough, because I was right there again, holding the Christmas tree with my feet on the door, trying to pull it in. Hey, you know what? The Christmas tree was not coming in. So you know what I did? I hacked off a few more pieces. But then, instead of just trying to pull the tree in, I hacked off a few more pieces. By this point, I have decided that Christmas is a pagan holiday that only people who are supporting Christmas presents have created, and Jewish people who believe in Jesus should not be celebrating Christmas, and I'm crashing the tree, and I've got the act up, and I'm crushing it, and I'm going to get this tree in, and you would not believe it, but after doing that for 15 minutes, I still could not get the tree in the house.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 2 on KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Getting ready to set up the next trivia question. I will say Friday's show was really good. And so if you have not gone back and listened to that show, you need to listen to that show. I think it's really foundational. It was fun to teach. And got a lot of response, and I just think that whole premise is just really kind of a cool premise, and it's a fun show. I mean, it's a good, you know, if you've got extra, what is it, like, it's like 43 actual minutes or 45 actual minutes or something, it's definitely worth the listen, so I'm just going to encourage you to do that. I don't do that very often. There's a couple times I do that, but when you get a show like that, I like it. Let's see. We want to go into our next trivia question, so I'm going to make this not going to be difficult, but it's not going to be easy. Here's the next trivia question. Jesus told his disciples in the book of Acts that they should be witnesses in three specific locations. Which locations are those? If you think you know, you can text 214-210-8483, or you can call in 972-445-0770. Don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. There you go. So we always encourage that you to go to hemustincrease.org. There's new stuff on there. I got a new mask that a custom mask I created. I think it's kind of cool. It'll be here in about a week. I'm just always making little goofy statements, and hopefully some of them will help you draw closer to the Lord. That's the whole point. Oh, telephone? Really? Okay. This is David. Who am I talking to? Hello?
Hello?
Hello? You there? Hello?
Is this Al?
This is David.
Well, this is Al.
Hi, Al. How's it going?
I'm good. And you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for asking.
I'm surprised I beat Ronnie and Van in.
That's great. That's a hilarious line. You're very good. Yeah, they call in quick. Ronnie's really fast, right? He gets in there really fast. All right, my friend. Listen, we've got this very, very tight thing that Jesus says. He says in the book of Acts, he goes, I want you to be witnesses in three specific locations. What are those locations?
Judah, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world.
Okay, so talk to me about the very first place they were in. Judah and Samaria is really specific, and that's 100% correct. What's the first place where they were?
Well, I can't tell you that answer, Dave.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. It's Jerusalem. They were right there in Jerusalem. So he goes, hey, Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. So here's the thing about that that's kind of cool if you think about it. And then you're right, into the uttermost parts of the world is exactly right. So we're going to give you credit for that right there. Great job on that. So
I don't think Ronnie or Van would appreciate that. They would tell you I got it wrong.
Nah, that's all right. Well, we see things from that what we say is they can worship God their way, we'll worship God His way. Anyway, that's just a fun line. Here we go. The Jerusalem is those that are just right there immediately around you. Judah is that next circle, and then Samaria is the circle around that. And so that's a great way to think of it, is the Lord wants you to be witnessing right within your territory, right the one ring outside of it, the next ring outside of that, and then finally, ultimately, to all the other rings. Is that wild?
Very good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Good job. Good job, though, getting in. I appreciate it, and I'm glad you did it.
Well, like I said, I'm going to give them a run for their money, so they got to get tighter on this phone. So.
You got it. Thank you so much, brother.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. God bless. Bye-bye. All right. Cool. All right. And we have people, texting and something, but good job. So L came in. Bam. It's weird the first couple times you do it, right? So that's pretty normal, right?
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, you got it. He was right there. He was right, had all of it right there. All right. Now you love me, because if you don't love me, well, you're in trouble with God. That's not my problem. But here's the bottom line. Here it is. I call this the big disaster. Okay? Now, I want you to catch the subtlety. You've heard me talk about this before. I'm going to talk about it again. There's nothing new, nothing surprising here. All right, the promise of a child. Genesis 15:4, this is what was said. Then behold, the word of the Lord came to Abraham and said, this man shall not be your heir, but the one will come forth from your own body. He shall be your heir. So God makes this promise that Abraham is going to have an heir, and this heir, this child, is going to be the receiver of this great promises that God has given him. All right, Genesis 16, skipping up to 16, 1 through 4. Now, Sarai, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maid whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, now behold, the Lord has prevented me, that's the key, from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I will obtain children through her. And Abraham listened to the voice of Sarai. And after Abraham lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Abraham's wife Sarai took Hagar, the Egyptian, her maid, and gave her to her husband Abraham as his wife. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived and bore. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her sight. All right, now why I got to all that is to get you to the Hebrew word etzar. Okay, can you say that? Etzar, etzar, etzar is that Hebrew word that was translated, now behold, the Lord has prevented me, etzar, okay? So what happens in regular relationship with the Lord is because the Lord doesn't do something that we think he's going to do in the framework that he's going to do it, we think God has prevented it. But the word etzar doesn't mean prevented, but it means restrains or withholds for a period of time and then releases. So etzar, restrain, it's restrained because of timing reasons, but in Sarai's mind, before she was named Sarah, it's like God's stopping me from doing this. And the real answer to that is God's not stopping you as much as pulling you back a little so that the timing is right. And what we think of, and the reason I brought it up, is because Christians who will pray and believe the Lord, pray and really be, you know, diligent and so on and so forth, oftentimes get a little frustrated with God's timing. And if you're not sure if that's accurate, then just go look at the story of Lazarus and Mary and Martha, who after Lazarus passes, both Mary and Martha said the same thing to Jesus. If you'd have been here, it wouldn't have gone down this way. Okay, they didn't say it that way, but they said it kind of close. And the idea is it wouldn't have happened this way if you'd have been here. If you would have arrived sooner, Jesus, this would be different. And Jesus' response, of course, he was impassioned for these friends of his, and he loved them, which is why we get Jesus wept in 11:35. But the whole principle on that is they didn't like the timing or the methodology that Jesus had used to help their brother. But Jesus said, but that the Father might be glorified, there was a greater purpose for the restraint. It wasn't a prevention to stop. It was delayed for a purpose. And sometimes when you're engaging with the Lord and you're trying to go, come on, Lord, you got to do this. Come on, this has got to happen. Or, you know, we're going in this direction. I know this is your will. We're going to head that way. And here we go. And yes, it is. And we can believe. And yes. And then the Lord delays the answer. It's like you're like going, okay, let's go. Okay, what are you stopping me for? We need to remember that God isn't stopping as much as completely directing for our benefit. Had Lazarus not died, many people would not have got saved. Because of Lazarus's testimony about him dying and raising, people believed in Jesus. So even though Martha and Mary were like, well, I don't like this. I don't like this style. I don't like your timing. I think you should get another Rolex or get a different watch. Maybe get a Timex instead of a Rolex because it's not working for me. We have to step back because the results of our efforts helping God along is usually that we create an Ishmael, or what I like to say is we create situational donkeys in our lives. Because it's like, yeah, it's a mistake. See? Because you try and make God do something in your time frame, which is not what he's intending to do, and so you fill in the gap. Right? And the Lord's up there going, don't do it. Don't do it. You just don't know what you're going to create. Don't do it. That's a huge mistake. You're going to find that's a big problem. Guess what? The fact that Sarah and Abraham both did not fully entrust. It's not that Abraham didn't believe. He's just like, yeah, well, maybe we'll help God do it this way. It's like God doesn't need your help. When God decides to do it, it's done. Take a deep breath and exhibit this wonderful concept called, ready, trust. It's like, okay, hold on. So what that means is we don't have to make everything happen, okay? We can trust him to unfold it piece by piece. And why I bring that up, that ATSAR, Eric wants to the spelling, A-T-S-A-R, that's the phonic spelling, so that's not the Hebrew has got different letters, of course. But the idea, A-T-S-A-R, is the idea is to understand that God, it's almost like a horse that's ready to go out, but somebody's pulling back the reins and just waiting to the right time for the race to start on time, instead of going early and being disqualified. That's a good analogy. I like that analogy. That worked. All right. You know I love you guys. Just keep thinking about stuff like that. We have one more little section that we're going to get into. Great job by Al. Thanks for calling in. And we're going to get into our next session. Don't go anywhere. One more challenging trivia question coming your way as we break here. You are listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Be right back. Mankind, destroying everyone and
everything we find. He's the heart. Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
John 7:24, stop judging by mere appearance and make a right judgment. That's all good. For 1 Corinthians 6:2, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? You can't say Christians can't judge. They're commanded to. Here it is right here. Ready? Here's the bowling ball knocking down the pins. Every day as Christians, we have to judge what is appropriate, proper, healthy, and useful. Also, what people we believe we should hang out with, trust, believe in, or let influence, we have to judge that on a regular basis. When you choose your church, you're using your judgment abilities.
Bazinga.
I love that. Because listen, when you're choosing your church, you have to decide to pick one over another. Oh, here's the key. You're going to hate me. Ready? Here it is. If we have no ability to judge, we can't vote.
What is the David Spoon Experience? Imagine yourself on a rocket ship racing at 1,000 miles an hour into space. Once there, you can sense the power and the presence of the majestic and the divine. You forget about your troubles and your fears, and you just float in peace without a worry in the world. There are no struggles, no pain, no discomfort. It's soothing, calm, comfortable. But then the show starts, and you realize that none of that stuff has anything to do with the show. What were you thinking? The David Spoon Experience, only for the brave of heart and the bored.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I want to reach the show. 214-210-8483 is the text. And then 972-445-0770 is the actual number. Always, you can always share praise reports, prayer requests, whatever the case may be, because we pray for people on the show. First of all, every person who listens to the show, I know you guys don't know this, you get prayed for every day, okay? And then all the people that are connected to the show, like Jennifer and Don and Sarah and Tiara especially, because she's in the midst of the show, okay? I mean, so you pray for them, right? And at no point, just so I want to make this understood so that you don't get weird on me, at no point, everybody has to agree with everything I say. I don't agree with everything I say. So, well, at least from a year ago. And then from a year from now, odds are pretty good. So, you know, just what you got to do is capture that which the Lord gives you to draw closer to the Lord. Period. That's the goal. There's nothing else to that. Okay? All right. Here we go. Trivia question. So this is a very specific answer. So I'm trying to lead you down that way before I give the trivia question. I'm talking about this from a physical point of view. Is that a good way to say it? Physical point of view. How did God punish Eve for sinning in the Garden of Eden? Looking for the physical there, okay? Okay, let's talk about our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, good. Don't forget, He Must Increase. I'm going to talk about a little bit of history in just a second. We got something in it. I don't know if Al's coming right back. We're going to find out. Or is it Ronnie? Or is it could be Ace? It could be any of them. It could be Murray. It could be any of these people that call us on a regular basis. We love everybody. Okay? So let's see who it is. Are we going? We're going with it? All right, here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is John.
Hi, John. Okay, you want to turn your radio down just a little. That's that little echo. Okay.
Oh, okay.
That's not a problem. Just turn it down just a little. Okay, so we're talking physically here, so this is a good one. What was the physical pain that God punished Eve with for sinning in the Garden of Eden?
More pain in childbirth.
That is correct. That is 100% correct. So here's the most bizarre part is I'm not sure that it's tough to kind of prove that there'd be zero pain, but it wasn't supposed to be. It's not supposed to be the pain that it is. Where now they need medicine, and so it's it's one of those things where man, you guys made this harder by doing this, and that's the key component. There is we make things harder by not listening to God.
True. There you go.
Excellent job, my friend. Excellent job. I appreciate it.
Like you said, you can't multiply zero by a number and get a number. You got to have at least a one to increase it. So
exactly correct. That's a great analogy. That's a great way to say it.
I thought about what it, maybe it was just mild or something before that happened, and then it really escalated, I guess.
Right. Now the only thing that's a disadvantage is if we had not sinned and the kids were born, the parent would never be able to go, you don't know what I went through to have you.
Right. That's right.
So there's a backside to that, but it's okay.
Well, the male response is, you ever had a prostate exam? That's pretty bad.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's not close.
Excellent job. I don't know.
I wouldn't know. We wouldn't know, would we?
Nope, wouldn't know.
Anyway, well, thank you, brother.
All right,
You're doing a great job. Thank you so much.
Enjoy listening to you. Appreciate that. All right.
Thank you.
Excellent. All right, so we got two things I want to get to. So I got 6 minutes, right? All right, let me get the history. Are we doing that? Is that new song ready for that history? Did we do that?
Completely forgot.
Okay.
But I'm going to do it.
Do it? Okay, we'll get the new song ready. We had somebody suggest it. We'll do that next time.
Okay.
That's fine. We don't have a lot of time for the history, so I'll just tell you real quickly. Today is National Date Nut Bread Day, which is cool. I mean, that's fine. I like bread, so I mean, that's good, right?
At first, when you said date, I thought you meant
going on a date.
But I forgot about the dates.
Dates. Like dates as in the fruit thing. The other thing is it's Pet Rock Day. I don't know if people remember the Pet Rock, but I actually got a Pet Rock when they first came out. Yes, I was one of those people. And that book was so funny, especially when it gives you the commands, tell your rock to sit. It's a rock. Come on. That's funny. Three things I'll tell you, and then we'll move into the teachings. I want to get to it. On this day in 1636, Harvard University is founded. The great thing about Harvard is they've had more spies caught there as professors than any other university in the world. That's number one. Number two, Star Trek. The first episode started on this day in 1966. I'm a big Star Trek fan. And then also Tarzan, starring Ron Eli, debuted on NBC on this day, the same day that Star Trek did. So you had Tarzan and Star Trek. See? Just keeping people in the loop. All right, here we go. I don't do a lot of teaching on this subject. It's not because I shouldn't. I should be doing much more teaching, so I'm just going to teach on it. You're just going to have to do with it what you will. I do not expect you to respond to this towards us in our ministry here at He Must Increase Ministry, which is my way of saying you need to listen to this and you need to work this out between you and God. Luke 21:1-4, he looked up and saw the rich dropping their offering in the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow dropping in two tiny coins. I tell you the truth, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all of them. For all of these people have put in gifts out of their surplus, but she out of her poverty has put in all she had to live on. The rich and the poor are going to exist, and I understand the movements that are taking place in society, but Jesus said the poor you will always have with you. So even though people are like, we're going to eradicate the poor. No, you're not. So I know you think you are, but you're not. It's not going to happen. And Scripture teaches us it's going to be this way until the end. Okay? So nice try, not going to happen. But Jesus was very clear. He said, this person has put, and by the way, that shows a poor person giving. So everybody should be giving, poor, intermediate, middle class, wealthy, everybody. Okay? And Jesus said that she has put in more, and that's the clarity of call right there to understand it's not the dollar amount. It never is the dollar amount. It has never been the dollar amount. A billionaire giving $1 million is not the definition of generosity. You understand that? Somebody that makes $100 giving $30, boy, that's a lot more generous, isn't it? And so it's not the dollar amount, because what people do is they give out of their surplus. And a surplus, by the way, is what you have to spare. It's like, I've taken care of everything. This is what's left over, so I'll give now. And see, that's giving out a surplus. But this woman, she gave, you know, there's a classic proverb joke that these two pastors, they die and they, and it's a joke, so bear with me. They get in the golf cart, they're going around heaven, they're looking at different homes, and it's like, oh, look at that home for that pastor, nice, that home for that pastor. They go by this little mountain and there's this huge, huge mansion. And they go, who lives there? And Peter goes, the widow woman. It's like, you get it. It's like, yeah, because she gave it all into the kingdom. You get it, though. It's like, yeah, that makes sense. You see, the story here is in the teaching here is for us to understand you can't wait until you get to the proper station in life to start giving, because that doesn't work with God. God has given to you all throughout your lifetime, starting with your birth and your first breath. So you're never going to outgive God, because he's already given to you more than you could ever give to him. But we should be giving, and it should be sacrificial and not out of the surplus. Now, if you have surplus, that's great. And if you want to support ministries, do it. But you still have to give unto the Lord as a offering and not as a, I got 20 bucks left over. That's not as, can I tell you, the one person in all the planet, in all the universe, who's not impressed with the extra 20 bucks is God, okay? You might impress me. You might impress the pastor. You might impress your spouse, your kids. But God knows. And he knows when the giving is real and when it's just giving. He knows when it's joyful and he knows when it's not. So, and the reason that I say I don't want you to give to us in lieu of this is because I just want you to get this principle of giving. God does expect his people to be generous and to give. I mean, he does expect that of them, as he has demonstrated, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. There you go. It's like, okay, well, that's a good testimony right there, right? Okay, so use that and figure out where the Lord wants you to give. One of the things that Noelle and I do pretty often is we talk to each other before we give and say, "What are you getting? Any, you know, leading anybody on your heart? Anything going on there?" And then we try and respond to that. There's nothing wrong with that. The Lord knows you're doing it before him. All right. Excellent job. Excellent calls. Excellent texts. Great job by T. Pray for her. She got to get her voice back. Yeah, she will. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 23-hour break. Then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.